This is exactly right.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I just want to say thank you to all the boomer moms who love crafts so much that they coddled their sons just so we'd have a project to work on.
Hooray! I'm Brandy Posey, and Alfred Hitchcock with a guillotine is my spirit gif. Kill the rich. I'm not kidding.
I'm Tess Barker, and some of you are really still out here observing days of the week.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Beep, beep, beep. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Oh my God, hello.
Ooh, hell yeah, guys. It is whatever day of the week. You know, if you're listening to this podcast on the day it drops, you know that it is a Wednesday. Yes. And that is the only day that matters, I think, in the new normal.
I mean, it's always hump day somewhere. That's what we say on Lady to Lady, you know?
Goddamn right. That's on a...
Is there any day that matter? I mean, I feel like Wednesday is the least significant day.
Really? I think Tuesday, like whenever I give an example of an insignificant day, I usually say Tuesday.
Tuesday, I believe, is the most insignificant day as well. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get our guest. Let's hear her opinion on which day of the week she feels the most strongly or the least strongly about. She's an amazing singer. I know her from the Vagabondings Roadshow. She's the singer of Hi Ho and Turnspit, two amazing bands out of Chicago. She's also an amazing yogi that she does yoga on her Instagram all the time. Jillian McGee, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. Day of the week. How do you feel?
I'm team Tuesday as being like the least inspired day of the week, I would say.
Yeah.
But I've come to love Sundays.
Totally.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah, I have too.
I feel like as a child, Sundays were like the worst day of the week, you know? Because mm-hmm. It meant that school was happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
But also, doesn't that just illustrate how we're not present? Like, we're worrying about the future. We're not staying where we are. We have the day off, and we're too worried about what tomorrow is.
That is what I think the spirit of of Sunday Fun Day is. It's like, why worry about tomorrow? We can party right now.
Exactly.
Absolutely. This is the day. This is the day. You might not get to Monday, so celebrate your Sunday.
Truly, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love a Sunday. I think it's mm-hmm. important to be very decadent on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yes.
It's a good languishing day, mm-hmm. I think. It's a good day for a robe. Because, like, Saturday can tend to have, like, a little bit too much pressure sometimes because you're like, this is, like, the day. But then Sunday, you can sleep in. It's a good day for a pancake.
Great tip for pancakes.
Somehow weekends actually happen more than they used to. I think because maybe it's more of like everything's so intense now that like weekends feel like more of a collective break for everyone to be like,
right,
dear God, let me just fucking breathe for a second.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, like it's almost like if we're gonna be in a perpetual weekend, we have to make the weekend like hardcore weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Weekend squared to the next level.
Absolutely. I will say, in regards to pancakes, mm-hmm. the most common day that I make pancakes on is Monday morning, because that's how I get over Monday. I make pancakes.
Huh. Of course, Tess would just be like, and how do I extend this weekend? That's not that's not the beginning of Monday. That's extending of Sunday.
There you go.
My life is one big extending Sunday.
I would argue if you made pancakes on Tuesday instead of Monday, maybe it would feel like your week was even more broke up. Like Monday, Monday is a work day, and then Tuesday morning you give yourself a little pancake treat.
Sure, why not?
Maybe you would feel as though you were taking back Sunday, if you will.
Hey! Oh.
I know, I was like, there is a taking back Sunday joke here, and I am not quick enough to reel it in, so thank
on
you
Sunday
for doing
morning, when
the
okay,
Lord's
I don't
work.
Know, this is the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to avoid a manic Monday, take back Sunday.
Ooh la la! There it is.
Because Friday, Friday, I'm in love, and tacos are Tuesday. I don't know.
Honestly, that song, what is it called? Friday? What was it called?
Rebecca Black. Friday.
Yeah. No, I was thinking the Cure song.
Friday.
No,
I'm
no,
in
no.
Love.
Not.
Oh, I thought, for some reason, I immediately assumed you were going to bring up Rebecca Black. I was like, yeah, Rebecca Black.
Tess, how long have we been friends? How long have we been friends?
Babs loves that song.
Well, Barbara. I thought you thought I was going to bring her up.
No.
Okay.
No, I knew you were referencing
the
Cure.
No, I was just saying the Friday where I'm in love is like, that's an unhealthy relationship, I think.
Yeah, the rest of the week, you're really depressed.
So much, honestly, like so much pressure, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a lot to put on somebody.
Exactly.
Like, literally, you're the shining light in my shit life. Who's been in that relationship before?
Just white knuckling my way through a Friday night that then you're too tired and you go to bed early. That's Friday. Friday might be the dark horse, most depressing day of the week, I think, for that reason. Because
really?
You're like, it's the weekend. Well, not as much now because what is time? But I feel like it used to be like when you had like a job, it was like, all right. Cool, it's fucking Friday, I'm going to do something. Actually, I just want to be asleep by like 11 o'clock. I just want to go the fuck to bed because
right,
I'm exhausted.
When you can't rally. Yeah. But even like, I don't mind though. I mean, I guess I just don't like, Friday to me, I just associate with like taking my bra off and like being relieved. So I don't really mind if I don't do anything on Friday.
Okay, actually, speaking of bras.
Yes.
I am wearing a nursing bra right now, and it is the most comfortable bra I have ever had on my body. So the reason, the why, you can't ask why. I don't have babies. So I've been volunteering with this awesome organization called Chicago Birth Works, which supplies, it's like a mother-daughter doula team. That helps like Black moms on the south and west sides of the city get like baby care, help pair them with doulas, all this amazing work. They have somebody who like encapsulates the placenta, and it's just like this beautiful celebration of like Black motherhood. Mm-hmm. So they did a donation drive, and the woman who runs it was like, I was on my way out like after helping out for a couple of hours, and she was like, take this bra, just like try it out. And I was like, okay, like whatever. And I put it on, and it is, I'm telling you, it's insane. And I'm like, also no one can tell. The only thing you can see, and this is not good for audio, but there's like a little clip on the front where it like attaches. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can like drop boob.
Pop it down. Yeah.
Which is cool, but I'm like, there's no wire. It is supportive, and I'm like a double D. So like to hoist the girls up without a wire is it's a feat.
I'm in. I'm
telling
wow.
you.
What a pitch.
So get nursing it's, bras.
It's very, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And also like I'm a constant bra wearer. I wear a bra all the time. I'm not comfortable without one. Mm-hmm. And I see the appeal because like, hey, I need to feel either easy access or just like I want to feel some wind on my nips, just let that flap go.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like the butt flap on a onesie, you just need to get a little draft in.
Totally. So I feel like a changed woman. I feel like without, I didn't have to have like the baby to get this life hack, and I want to share it with the world. You know what I mean?
What a great hat.
Yeah. I mean, so
it's a, that might be a game changer. I'm going to be looking at those the
really
next time.
It's really comfortable. So
I mean, I have maternity shorts in my closet, so I'm sure that this could also work for a different part of
across
my body.
Across the board, yeah.
You might be able to get like a little matching set, like a little tankini.
Yeah. I've definitely been at Target looking at stuff and picked it up and been like, oh, this is maternity clothing.
Yeah.
It's cute as hell. It's
made
super
to be comfortable, stretchy.
Not, not too proud to wear maternity, you know?
Absolutely.
2020, my hashtag for the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah. We're all creatives. We've birthed things.
Yes.
Oh, totally. That's whenever I talk to someone who's like, and I don't mind if you talk about your kids, but if literally the only thing you talk about is your kids, I'm like, can we talk about my child, aka the script I'm working on?
I know. Can you imagine if you just went on like with little fucking anecdotes about your script? Like today, after lunch, Josie, that's the waitress character. She told me, I don't know. She said, "Can I? Do you want to order a fries with that?" And then I was like, "No, waitresses don't actually say that, but then they do."
Yeah, Josie definitely does.
It was so cute. My script is so cute.
I love it. I'm very proud of it. I have high things for it. I don't think I'm putting too much of myself into it, but
yeah. That said, I do love talking about myself and my projects. Yes. Like I'm making fun of that, but I do that to my husband all the time.
Well, husbands, that's what they're there for.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that was in your vows, right? Like, for rich or for poor, also, you will hear about my sketches.
Yeah.
And I will listen to yours.
I will say this about vows. Sean put in his vows that he would bring me coffee in bed every morning. And he already did that a lot before we got married. And ever since we got married, he has every single day that he's home, he's brought me coffee in bed.
Wow.
I know.
How long have you been married?
Like a year and a half, or more than that. Our anniversary is in September, so almost 2 years.
I am impressed deeply.
That's very impressive.
Right? I was like, wow, that's a great... I have no similar clause in your contract, Sean, you know?
I was going to show up daily for you in a specific way.
Now, is he, like, baby birding this coffee to you, or, like, what's...
Actually, it's really cute. It's really cute. He has the dogs trained so that when he takes the coffee out, they know that it's time to wake me up, so they all come in. So first I get woken up by the dogs, and then there's coffee after the dogs.
No.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
This is very cute. I feel like this is an advertisement for marriage.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
You're living that Folgers life. Like, that's a commercial. Absolutely.
All you need is a maternity bra.
I mean.
And it's a perfect
a dog
morning.
On each side.
Exactly. I think my husband prefers what I do, which is generally no bra.
Yeah.
He's fine with that.
You guys were just camping in Catalina. Does he make you coffee, like, when you guys are backpacking in the morning?
Yeah. Or? Even when we were camping, he woke up early and made the coffee first.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Crazy.
I love it. How was
that? So what happened? You got dropped off in the back of Catalina and then like hiked in?
Yeah, it was like it was really beautiful. Catalina is just like so incredible. It's just crazy that there's this island so close to LA that has like such beautiful clear water and like amazing wildlife and everything. So yeah, we got dropped off in the back part of the island, and then we did it's like a 7.5 mile hike in, but we had to backpack in. So like all your shit you need for the whole trip, you have to carry on this hike. And then we were like in this very, very remote beach just in the middle of the Pacific. No cell reception, which was giving me like a lot of, anxiety. But then it was also like, you know what? This is like good to do sometimes, is just put yourself like in the middle of the fucking ocean with no possible way to contact people except via a 7.5 mile hike.
Yeah. That's nice. What is it? Probably like 48 hours of like a screen detox before you start feeling good about not having that anymore. Like, I wonder how long that period is before you're like, oh, cool, I can stop checking my phone or whatever.
Yeah, I can't say I reached that on this trip, but Yeah,
I just think those phantom like reaching for foe. I always do the phantom push-up glasses.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally.
Go ahead. I've gone, so what I do when I need a new cell phone is I always order a Groupon factory refurbished iPhone.
Hell yeah.
It's much cheaper, pay it up front, and then the bill doesn't, like, get changed. Oh. So, about 5 years ago, I went 12 days without a phone, and it was sick. It was awesome. I loved it.
How long was there a period where you missed it before it got awesome, or were you like happy right away?
There were like little things I just had to adjust to. So like I would be on my laptop more, like on Facebook Messenger, you know, to like do that. But I was pretty, I think, yeah, like the phantom, like, oh, what was that? Or I like go to check my phone, not knowing the time anytime you want is like an interesting thing as well. But it was, yeah, I just felt like where I am is like actually all the only place I can be, you know what I mean? And that was really liberating because it wasn't like being pulled in like other directions or like, oh shit, I forgot to like, it's like, oh, well, until I get home, I can't, you know. It's like the olden days.
Yeah.
In the 80s and prior.
The olden 80s.
Yeah, that would definitely be sick to go back to like an old school answering machine with like a cassette tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, I remember I have friends that are in bands in like the 90s and stuff. And when they toured, the only way their manager could get a hold of them was by paging them.
Yeah.
And then they'd have to go find a payphone to like call them back at. So like they weren't completely reachable at all, like most of the day.
Right.
Just nice. Like to not have to like answer to that kind of shit all the time is just.
Yeah. Great. I mean, I think we as a society need to collectively dial back that expectation. Like, it's only going to work if everyone does it. But it's like, it's so seldom necessary to get a hold of people as quickly as people expect it. Like, there are sometimes like things that are actually, but I don't know. No, people want barriers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Setting, but I have a really strong like work-life balance boundary. Like if I'm not here, I really don't want to be like brought into like work is work and then my time is my time, and you know, like if I want to blend it more I can, but it's that's something that I would say in the last like 4 years I've worked really hard to, and now everything's meaningless. Nothing is anything. So, but
I've been prepping for this.
Exactly.
I'm not a prepper. I'm an emotional prepper. I feel like people are a little more lax with like that stuff in quarantine, just because it is just like every day is like you don't know how it's gonna go. So, I feel people a little, I guess on my end, I don't feel the urgency quite as much. You know, it's kind of like, it'll happen when it happens.
Right. But
it's hard to get away from that. And also now that we're getting into this being like our regular lives, it's kind of just like, people are kind of starting to be assholes again, but.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Most definitely.
It's so interesting watching people adapt and just be like, oh, okay, well now I will bring my personality to this level of life.
Mm-hmm. I'm catching up.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you, Jillian, as a creative person and musician, like how have you found it trying to work on stuff during all of this?
Actually, I have not written anything until last night. Actually, I like pulled my guitar out to like prep for the show. And I've been like little like lyric ideas or like certain things that catch me in a moment. I'll like write in my notes section. I'm sure you guys, you know, do that for comedy and stuff. But like something that like catches me or something that I want to like sit down with at a later date and like really focus on and flesh out. Because I don't want to let all of that creativity just like fall by the wayside. But I went back to something that I wrote down like maybe two or three weeks ago. And I like for the first time since March. And my band this year, Hi Ho, was supposed to, like, we had to cancel a tour. I was, like, ready to relaunch Jillian fronting a full band again, because I was in a band, Turnspit, for a couple of years, and that ended just over a year ago. And I, you know, we were a band for a while, and we did some amazing, like, dream come true stuff, and it took me some time to, like, lick my wounds and heal and, like, figure out how I wanted to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so finally at the beginning of this year, got a really great group of people together writing pretty, like, cool shit and different stuff than I've written before, a little bit more, like, I don't know, not experimental in, like, an annoying way, but, like, less kind of, like, verse, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, out, you know, just, like, a little bit less, you know, linear songwriting and different kind of, like, sound than I have in the past, and, like, a straight punk rock kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then the pandemic hit, and that was, you know, hard for everybody in all of the ways. So I had to, like, kind of, I couldn't even handle the fact that, like, or I couldn't, like, deal with the fact that that was a loss that I had to deal with. It was like, okay, I'm just, like, not going to think about it. I'm going to try and do other things. Like, I started going on, like, lots of nature walks and, like, whatever, and trying to, like, be in my body more. And, like, I started therapy a month ago and, like, woo! All these other things, like, eating well, just, like, really trying to hone everything in. And I'm like, music will always be there. It's not, like, gone forever, but I just, like, can't really give it myself to it in this moment. Like, there's too much, you know, the, like, brain space that is required for me to, like, be creative that was just not available. Yeah. So I wrote something last night, and it's, like, a real bummer. It's sad. It was the thing that I, like, wrote down that I wanted to come back to was seeing, like, a school zone, like, slow down sign, and I was like, what's the point of that, you know, school zones? And
oh god,
there are no kids in there, and in Illinois they're trying to, like, make people go back, and it's like, we're gonna, like, literally let kids die. So, and it kind of talks about, like, the, like, first line of the chorus is that the wind or the ghosts on the playground?
Oh my god.
It's, like, a real bummer. It's, like, beautiful and sad, which is kind of my thing, but also, like, not always such a bummer, but I was like, well,
no, I mean, that's a beautiful lyric. It's very, like, present. I can, it's very well written. Yeah. So.
Of the moment.
That's,
for sure.
I mean, it's, that's good that you, you know, found the inspiration though.
Finally something kind of freed up, I feel like, and I'm excited to, like, be doing that, but largely I have not been creative and in that capacity.
Well,
so.
I think like with a lot, like, when this all started, it's like, you don't realize how, like, we all got knocked so far down, like, the hierarchy of needs that it was like, ooh, I need to, like, go back to basics and just make sure, like, this stuff, my base, like, my rock is in a good place,
like,
before
literally can I brush my teeth today, you know, like, some days that was like, I have to treat myself like a baby to be like, you have to do this, you have to do that, whatever else happens, it's just gonna be, but, like, you know, so
I think the benefit of, like, being in a creative career for this long too is that the urgency, like, it's always there, but it's also that, you know, that just everything takes forever. And like you said, that music's always going to be there, that, like, obviously comedy, you know, we don't know what live performance is going to look like, but there'll be some form of it. Like, we will evolve to figure it out and, you know, figure out how to keep going. But like, after doing comedy this long, it's really hard, very, very hard to not have it in the same capacity. But I also do know that I'm like, okay, this is a break. Like, maybe we did all collectively need it for one way or another. Mm-hmm. So yeah, figure out myself
so
and being
it,
healthy. Yeah.
Like, you can get as pissed off about it as you want. It doesn't change the fact that it's happening. Like, no amount of banging your head against the wall is going to change the reality. So it's a very interesting thought experiment, because it's like, you can't get off the fucking mountain. May as well try to figure out pushing the boulder up and just enjoying it.
I thought you said, like, may as well figure out how to fucking ski down that thing.
Oh, that's better. I like that better. And honestly,
Stop pushing a boulder and go snowboarding.
Oh, my God. Love it. Make it a sticker.
Hell yeah.
We have to take a break, but we'll be right back.
BRB.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Jillian.
Hello.
Hey. Barbara, where did you find that? You found a quiz.
I was just looking up quarantine specific questions or something, you know, like, because we usually play a game to get to know the guests a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And these were 10 quarantine questions to get to know your partner better. And then it has a really disgusting photo of two people that does not look natural at all, laying on the bed staring into each other's eyes. But
yeah, that is some like teenage level of you don't do that once you get older. He's like, I don't want to
eye gazing. Lay like this. I do this. Yeah. I stare at my boyfriend in bed, but he's not looking at me. I just do it to freak him out.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. There's no romance.
No,
there's no romance. It's all a goof. Some of these I thought were kind of interesting, so we don't have to do them all because some of them were like weird, like why do you love me, which would be a weird question for me to ask of someone I just met over Zoom, but
I would like to hear her answer.
Okay, cool.
Jillian, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one ability, what would it be?
I hate this and like the superhero question.
Yeah.
It is really shitty.
I don't know why. And I don't mind like hearing other people answer it, but literally like any podcast I've listened to and like anytime I hear this question, I always think I don't know what I would want. With any ability,
it's also kind of shitty because it's obviously this writer being like, I'm going to ask the superhero question, but not directly.
Yeah, totally. You know what?
Well, but does it have to be? I would say maybe it's a slightly different question because
it is. Because what I would say is maybe that if I could be, it's like tandem, less self-doubt and like better follow through.
Hmm. Gotcha.
I thought you were going to say better followers, like social media.
High
quality followers.
I'm looking for high. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What? I hot wake reply, up guys.
All these freaking plebs following me.
If I could wake up as an influencer, I think I would really feel that.
Yeah, I think that's good. We we're always, I mean, self. Yeah, both of those things I would love a little bit more of. When you look at the people who have like 1,000%, you're like, where the fuck can I just like dig a little bit out of that?
Anybody ever bully you? Like, that's kind of my thing. I'm like, where?
But also, I think there's a tipping point, right? Because like the smartest people I know have like at least some self-doubt. Mm-hmm. I think that's how like the sign of an intelligent person, because if you have no doubt, you're not a critical thinker.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's true. Don't trust people that have zero self-doubt. I think it's like,
yeah.
Well, that's what I don't want zero, but I want like a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I want to, you know, tap into theirs slightly.
Nothing makes me feel more crazy than being at a comedy show and watching a dude bomb and then they're like, I fucking crushed it. And you're like, we were all here.
Yeah, it's like, it does. It seems really fun.
Where were you?
Yeah.
Also, like, even people who do crush it. Anyone who's ever said I crushed or I killed makes me so uncomfortable. I'm like,
yeah,
I can't. Oh wait, what was I going to say? Oh wait, Brandy, don't you have a somebody reached out to you and thought that you were their bully? Or no, they thought they bullied you.
They thought they bullied me. Oh, this is
wow,
dude.
We gotta talk about this.
Yeah, a woman reached out to me on Facebook. She was like trying to make amends. I think she never really confirmed that or not. But hold on, let me find the exact messages. They were so funny.
Yeah, Brandy sent this to us and was like, I don't remember being bullied, but someone says they were my bully.
Yeah, she was like, I bullied you this summer, and I'm so sorry. And I was like, was I bullied? And I don't remember.
Yeah, did you repress that?
No, she was talking about another Brandy that she met.
Oh, it was a different.
But
okay,
I'm sure,
okay.
Yeah, of course you did have that moment at first of like, you know, you always hear these stories about people repressing that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, wait, I need to run through my Rolodex real quick. did you bully me? Yeah. Was I bullied? I can't
remember. Have just taken and asked her for money or something.
Yeah.
I know. I should have really, I really fucked up.
When you thought maybe you were bullied and you were like running through your brain, were there any possible candidates that you thought, maybe it was that person?
I mean, not really. I mean, I was like, is this like some popular girl that thought that she got one over on me when she like said some shit, but I like don't remember or whatever. Oh yeah. Like, oh, here it is. Hi Brandy. This is Blah's friend from when we were in elementary school. I've been meaning to write you for years, but never knew what to say. I was mean to you sometimes, and I'm really sorry about that. I don't want to assume how you feel about anything, and also do not expect a response, but I wanted to say I'm sorry I was mean to you when we were kids. I hope you're well. And I was like, thanks for the apology. I don't remember anyone being mean to me in elementary school.
Wow.
I was like, are you sure you're the right person? And I said my elementary school, and I was like, if you're making amends, just want to make sure you're making it to the right person. I don't remember your friend's name. It's not ringing any bells. And she just wrote back, yikes, I'll have to do more research.
Can you imagine? Sure, that's the right person before sending that.
I know. Yeah. And also, like, how many Brandys do you know? Brandy is not a popular name.
It's really
Brandy
not.
Posey? Brandy Posey?
There's like one of my name. There are not that many of them. Yeah, it's so funny. And she's like, thank you.
I hope she's just sending this to every Brandy. Brandy, the singer. She's like, I'm just going to copy and paste this.
She's like, thanks for responding. And I'm glad no one was mean to you in elementary school. I was like, I don't know. I was pretty popular in elementary school. Everybody seemed to like me.
I was but doing all
popular
right.
Didn't even count in elementary school.
Well, I mean, I guess yeah, everybody. Like, I was friends with everybody. I feel like because popularity, like, there weren't like the cliques quite yet, or like they were starting to form. But I feel like I was really fluid, like, with everybody at that age.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that was fucking weird.
There was a teacher at my elementary school that was like really young, and every single girl had a crush on him. And we would all like, I'm just remembering that was like, I guess what you would call the popular girls. But like the popular girls would just go into his room and we would like write on the board. And like we all had crushes on this teacher. And now I was just talking to my friend who was in that class with me. I'm like, looking back, like that guy was like 24 and we all thought he was so cute.
Oh my God, he's so horrified.
I mean, I think it was totally harmless.
Of course.
He must have known it was just like five girls that wanted to come like play hangman every day at lunch. Like,
will you be my boyfriend? Guess what? You're just filling in the hangman.
Oh my God.
Can I get your number?
And I remember he got engaged, and like that was like devastating for so many people.
Wow.
We could probably fuel a small country on the power of like young girls' crushes. They're just the most intense.
Yes.
Powerful.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Jillian, what was your? Did you have like a big like crush when you like? What was your like your JTT or like your huge crush when you were a kid?
I mean, I loved Nick Carter and Aaron Carter. Mm-hmm. I remember like what a special moment was when like Aaron Carter was on the Lizzie McGuire show. That was like kind of a big deal.
Meeting of the worlds.
Yeah, it was, and then they like kissed, they like smooched at the end. And also, like, a couple of years ago, he was like, literally like, take me back, Hillary Duff. And it was so weird.
Whoa.
This is like many, many, many years ago when you guys were like barely pubescent, you know, like, and you're an adult man now.
And Hillary Duff is like living her life, right?
I truly love her. She's doing great. I watched that show Younger. It's like a TV Land.
She's so good in that. She's amazing.
That's like, I don't believe in guilty pleasures, but that's like kind of along those lines for me. I don't watch a lot of TV kind of like in that vein, but
oh, that's a great show. I met one of the writers on it, and you know, it's not a show a ton of people watch, but I had like literally just binged 4 seasons, and I was like, oh my God, Charles. Like, I was right in her face, and she was like, whoa, no one watches this show.
Yeah, well, a couple of years ago, I went through like probably the biggest breakup of my life, and that show was like the escape that I had, like, to be in a different world. I did it in quarantine, too. It's like you escape into a different world, because things are shit in your own, and you just get to, like, exist there for a temporary period of time. And Younger did that for me. But, yeah, I still just, like, love Hillary Duff. I don't know, but then, like, yeah, I remember, because I was getting into, like, punk rock stuff. I was in love. Okay, forget Aaron Carter. That's, like, young Jillian. Okay, number one.
Wow.
Joel Madden of Good Charlotte.
Good he was very, very cute. Yeah.
Benji was like the punk as fuck one. He was like, had the Liberty spikes and like more tattoos. And then like I was in love with Billy Joe from Green Day for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Like kind of into music, the dude Pierre from Simple Plan was another one. Derek from Sum 41 was too ugly. So I like the bass player Cone.
I love it's like you had to mention it. You're like, you're probably asking how I felt about Derek from Sum 41.
Definitely not. Just so you know, absolutely not.
I'm like listing through like that group of bands though from that time, and it was like I wanted to love Derek, and Avril Lavigne was married to him, and like she was a big deal for me growing up as well. So I was like, well, he's like good enough for Avril, but no.
But I feel like not he for works me. for that. You know, era of like the ugly, cute type of thing. Where it's like girls like them because they're like, oh, but I get him.
Yeah. You know? And he was the lead singer. Like he wrote the songs, played guitar. Yeah. He was a performer. He was, you know, and also Tom DeLonge and Mark.
What if we like had him on the line right now? We're like, tell him to his face. He's ugly.
Hey, Derek.
That's our weird prank show where we just goad you into saying you don't like a celebrity and they're sitting
there. That is actually a brilliant, like, secretly find out your guest's, like, celebrity crush and then have them be, like, the surprise guest. There is, like, there's money in that idea, you guys.
There absolutely
is. They were
going
to do that to me when we had French Stewart on, because that's who I was obsessed with as a child, if you want to know anything about me.
French Stewart? And
what?
Do I not? Who did you say? Sorry.
Oh, French Stewart from Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Harry, and Harry they were going to surprise me with him, but they were like, I think we need to warn her what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Tess the other day was like, do you remember those Abercrombie and Fitch guys? They were so hot. And I was like, no, I like French Stewart. That was not my speed.
I mean, that makes sense. But just looking at how much you love like hot boys like that now, I'm like, Bat, come on. Like,
But it's not like, I think it's still a thing where I'm like, from afar, because I want to know that I have a chance.
Okay. I mean, for me, because I was thinking about it, because I'm always like, you know, Magic Mike is one of the first movies I've ever seen that, like, I felt like it was geared towards, like, the, like, you know, straight female gaze of, like, you know, objectifying men. And then I was looking back and I was like, no, you know who did do it before them? Fucking Abercrombie and Fitch. Like, their catalogs were basically pornographic. I mean, they were so dirty. Like,
sexual.
These guys, like, these guys were, like, it was like the Victoria's Secret thing where it was, like, a clothing catalog, but they were not wearing clothes. And they were just, like, always doing, like, really horny shit. And, like, even the bag was horny. They had a fucking topless guy in the store who it was either free or a dollar, and you could take a Polaroid photo with this like hunk in the mall.
I think that might have just been in Southern California. We did not have the shirtless man in Maryland.
We had him in Salt Lake, but I was definitely too scared to go near them.
Oh. I used to go like every single, like that was one of my mall stops because it was like, okay.
Mall stops.
Yeah,
that's a good like band name, something.
I have to say, wait, okay, since we're speaking on the subject, I have to admit something, and I'm a little I'm a little nervous to talk about it, but I think it's pretty funny. So I played this on the show, I think 2 weeks ago. Tess and some of our other friends for my birthday got me a Chris Kirkpatrick cameo. It was very funny. He said all these weird NSYNC puns. But the thing is, Whitney, my like best friend, is the one who organized it. And she doesn't know that he's not the one I had the crush on. She thinks that it's him. But it was AJ from Backstreet Boys.
Oh my God! Yes!
I knew that you liked AJ, and I didn't really.
I liked AJ too.
I didn't want to question her on it. Like I was just like, I'm almost positive Babs was a BSB girl, but like I was like, I'm sure.
This is amazing.
But it's really funny because it's so sweet. I love it. Like it's perfect. Even for that reason, it's perfect.
Yeah.
But like I saw Whitney the other day, and she was talking about like, oh yeah, I was gonna like make him say something about how you had a crush on him, and it confirmed it because I was like, oh, this is really funny, but I'm not really sure why she picked him, and I was like, oh, she probably thinks he's the one I like,
AJ.
And now I'm like, I don't want to tell her. I mean, I'm gonna tell her someday, but not.
Well, oh, now she's gonna hear. Also,
I don't know. I don't think she listens anymore, so I don't think she'll hear this.
I mean, I will say this to Whitney's credit, he is the AJ of NSYNC.
I was gonna say
Patrick
that.
Totally. Yeah.
I loved doing that. I loved like pairing, you know, like what's
okay,
the
so
one to one?
Here?
Yeah. Well, Brian
AJ and Chris.
And JC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nick and Justin. Mm-hmm. Duh. Those were like the two obvious ones.
Yeah.
And then like Lance and Kevin.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Well, okay, but that means Howie and Joey are the same. And I don't think that's true because I think Joey had a much bigger career than Howie ever did.
Mm.
So, but Lance, kind of the NSYNC guys had bigger careers than other BSB guys, so it's hard to say.
But, like, I think you have to go, like, vibe-wise.
Yeah. Who was AJ paired with? Who was the bad boy of
AJ
NSYNC?
Was the bad boy.
Oh, no. Joey, right?
Yeah, I think AJ and Joey are more, and
they're
more goatee.
Like old. Yeah.
Oh, maybe Howie is Chris. So,
Howie and Chris.
Yeah.
That's where
they're
I land
goobers.
With it, I
they're
think.
The goobers more.
Yeah.
That
makes
sense.
But it's really funny because I'm like, oh no, I can't tell her.
For the rest of your life, Whit's going to get you like NSYNC stuff every few birthdays.
You're going to be like, thank you.
Appreciate it. It's so good.
Other people are going to start buying it for you.
I'm just going to have to play along. That's fine. I mean, it was so, like I said, I didn't care because it was hilarious and awesome, but it was like a funny thing where I was like, oh no, she doesn't know it's AJ.
I mean, I think that makes it even funnier because of how embarrassed Chris Kirkpatrick was in the cameo. Like, it's funnier that...
It's amazing that it was also the wrong guy. Yeah. Like, we made him do this for no reason.
Wrong band.
That's perfect. Is AJ on cameo?
I don't think so. I don't know. I haven't looked. But yeah, I don't think there's a lot of those guys.
He's a real bad boy then. He's like, I'm not doing that. No,
he's
I'm
in
mysterious.
The wind, baby. Okay, let's do one more and then we'll take a break. Let's see.
Okay. Ooh, there's a couple in here that are like, I'm like, ooh, that's a hell of a partner question.
I know. Like, we'll just say this one just to discuss. Well, we don't have to ask this to you, Jillian, but just this is funny. Mm-hmm. It says to say to your partner, think of two sexual fantasies. One you have imagined but don't want to try, and another you would. Tell me one of the two, but don't tell me which category it falls into.
Why?
Whoa.
No.
Because you're setting the other person up to, like, sexy surprise you with whatever you say. And if it's the thing that you don't want, then it's like, hey, whoa, no.
No. This
Chris that doesn't... one you've imagined but don't want to try. Why would you be imagining sex scenarios you don't want to try? That's literally never happened to me. I've never been like, ooh, let me think of something that doesn't turn me on.
I don't know that I have or have not. That's like an interesting thing.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Because I think like most, like, obviously porn exists in like a heightened reality that I don't think everyone would necessarily want to do in real life.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But it just does seem like a weird like test you're putting them in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, definitely a test. No
doubt. It's like, hopefully they don't go buy like a whole pleather, you know, right, yeah, yeah, thing. Yeah. And then it's like, no, that's not what I wanted.
Totally. Well, then the next one is the one that I'm like, I feel like this is a fight. Do you think it's better to be the one who is loved more or the one who loves more? Like, that's a fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, we're trying to keep quarantine interesting, okay?
That's true. Wow. Sometimes you just got to break up a Tuesday, you know?
Yeah. The wretched Tuesday.
Okay, this is here's the one we'll actually ask. Okay. Which is also kind of maybe stupid and like the superhero one, but if you could have a secret decoder ring that explains hidden truths, what one question would you run through the ring?
Hold on, one more time.
If you could have a secret decoder... Sorry, I didn't realize that this is like a personal question, so I changed it. If you could have a secret decoder ring that explains all... Never mind, that doesn't make any sense. This explains my behavior.
Let's do the next one. Yeah. Are rich people happier? What amount of money would make you happier?
I don't think... I think security is important to alleviating anxiety. So, every time I think like, man, I'm making a lot of money, and then I calculate out what I'm making for a year, I'm like, oh, that's nothing. Like, yeah. So I don't know. It's like pathetic. I don't know if I have like a number for a single me, for like a single me, if I wanted to like just live my life, maybe slightly more elevated, like I'm like, go get a facial. Not doing that. It's hard to, because like the experiences that I would want to have this money for now.
Yeah, this is this shitty. Also, it's such a weird question. I guess maybe between partners it makes sense, but like it's so weird to be like, what amount will make you?
Yeah, what amount of money will keep
like
you in this?
It's stupid. Like you should spend 3 months of work on an engagement ring. Like it's like equates to happiness or equates to like what you should do.
Yeah.
But yeah, security is it. Yeah, it's like, you know,
I would just want to feel like secure and then have fun money that was not like I'm not high maintenance as a human, so it would, you know, not be anything too much.
Ooh, I like this. Yeah, I'm not high maintenance, but I'm human.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I love that. Yes. Well, and also like to the point of, are rich people happier? Like, I know obviously the cliche thing is money doesn't buy you happiness, yada yada. Okay. I just got back from camping in the middle of a fucking island where I was eating MREs and peeing behind a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there were people coming up to this paradise in their yachts, and they were like in a yacht. Yes, rich people are happier. Like, people who can be in yachts whenever they fucking want are very, very happy.
I know that's where that was going.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. See, I was expecting. I don't know if that's true though, because if you can be on a yacht, if you can be on a yacht every day, then a yacht doesn't mean anything. I think if you lose the stakes, then once money means nothing, then I think like an experience kind of means nothing because you could do it whenever, so it's not special.
No, totally. And I know that's the traditional line we toe.
I think that's true though.
I think, to be honest, when you're rich and can do fun ass shit all the time, it's probably pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Fun ass shit, my level for fun ass shit is like way down here, and I'm like sick. But rich people, they keep pushing it higher and higher.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to get into any of your Epstein shit, Brandy, but...
Yeah. Hey, I was not going to bring it up. But do you think my brain was there in the background? Like,
I know. You know?
Yeah.
I know you.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that you touched on this, like, money for some people is a finite resource, and money for other people is a concept. And when you hit the point that money is a concept, if you still function under the nothing will satisfy me and I need to keep at leveling up, that's when no matter what, you're not going to be a happy person. But I agree. The security, like, that I was talking about. And it's like, yeah, I would love to, like, that's sick. They get to, like, go on a yacht, you know?
Yeah. Like, and I think it is possible to cultivate a level of presence and appreciation. I don't think if you're unable to do it without money that you will be able to do it with money.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think that there are people who do cultivate that kind of appreciation for their life that are able to enjoy, like, and actually... Yeah, do enjoy every yacht trip and do enjoy every meal. Yeah. I do think those people exist.
Yeah.
I don't think that every single person that's like filthy rich, I think obviously many, many of them are, but I do think that there's like really wealthy people that just enjoy a really nice life.
I'm sure there is. I guess I just don't think about it that much because I'm like just focused on trying to survive myself and like,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I feel content right now and happy. So, maybe they're happy. The question is, if they're happier, I guess I can't answer that. I mean,
yeah.
I think happiness is obviously such a subjective thing, too. It's probably hard to like measure person to person. But
well, a lot of it also seems to be like. Where is your wealth coming from? Like, if it's like, if like you built your own company from the ground up and you're like proud of like how your money was attained and like you fucking struggled to make it, like then you like earned the shit that you're gonna do with that versus like, I mean, it seems like a lot of people that just like inherit a lot, they don't know what things mean or like what they never had like that struggle to like find their identity to like
Like Jillian was saying, like it's just a concept to you. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where the like problem comes in with it. Cause it's like, if it's just a concept to you, like the people who actually need it, you have like no like real empathy for. And you know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. And your ability to like face struggle when it actually happens is like, so you're not primed for it. Yeah, you don't know how to deal when like something life actually throws something at you. So you think everything is a mountain, and you're just living in molehills.
Yeah, molehill life over here.
But we will take your money.
Gladly.
Yeah, absolutely. Jillian, you want to play us out with a song for this segment?
Sure, yes. Let me grab my guitar.
Hell yeah. What are you gonna play for us?
So this is a song that I wrote after the first Vagabondies trip that we did in 2019. It's called Desertion. We did like a full band demo of it right before the world turned upside down. It sounds a lot different. It's a lot heavier, kind of more jammy, but I like the slow, sad girl version as well. So here's Desertion. Thank you.
everybody. We're back. I am Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Jillian. And send us your lady problems. You know, we all cut up on ours. So if you want to send them to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com, send them on in. We're going to do some follow-ups from some old ones we had.
Yeah. I mean, even if your lady problem is, hey, I've been staring at a wall. What else should I put on the wall to stare at? We've got ideas.
We can brainstorm that.
Nothing
yeah.
too big or too small.
Yeah, truly. Absolutely. What color nail polish should I try that I've never tried before? We have Ooh. Thoughts on that. It's all good. Yeah, we can get there. And we also love hearing follow-ups from people that once we have answered yours, if we did a good job or not, like, let us know. Because we never know what's good. Going on.
Help exactly. us help you.
Exactly. okay, let's see. This is, so we're going to read a couple of those. This is one that we got from a gal that was wondering, like, going through a breakup and, like, how, you know, moving to a foreign country and, like, how the hell do you start dating and, like, how do you stay
right.
friends with an ex?
Right.
And all
and we
of that.
Were like, oh, it'll happen whether you plan it or not.
mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, I'm so stoked that you all responded to my lady problem. I can't tell you how affirming it was to just hear you guys say from an outside perspective, trust your instincts and you're making good decisions. In fact, I had thought about writing in earlier about this decision of whether to break up or not, and I could hear your advice in my head. It definitely helped me lean towards this decision. Someone in the episode actually sort of applauded the choice we made to break up now instead of after a few sad slash toxic months of trying long distance, and exactly how, and that's exactly how we thought about it. I'd rather end things on good terms to get some closure. I also love that someone mentioned how close you can stay with someone even if you only talk to them a few times a year. That's so true. I guess I've just made so many huge decisions all at once and I'm waiting for the doubt and fear to set in, but it hasn't. I feel really confident and excited about all of this, and having an outside perspective agree with that was so affirming. Thank you for your fantastic advice. I love you guys, and I'm sure to keep you posted. Let's see. Also, I forgot to mention my pronouns in my first email. It was cool that y'all kept using they, them, just in case. That's a culture shift that has not made it to DC yet, but which I'd like to get better about. Either way, I go by she, her, and now my ex is he, him. And this was the one, she's majoring in criminology, and so she wanted to tell
right.
us a little bit about that. Okay. Ooh. Okay, so criminology. Again, thanks for being so excited about this. Oh, my computer zoomed in. Okay. criminology. Again, thanks for being so excited about this. So my program is in international criminology, meaning it has more, more to do with crime that involves borders, immigration, refugees, human trafficking, border security, etc. I put crime in big air quotes because we don't love to talk about refugees as criminals. Even if they are entering a country illegally, it is not exactly a matter of deviance the way that we think of as normal crime. So this isn't exactly related to that kind of to the kind of local policing we were talking about right now as a country, but it still has everything to do with how we criminalize people of color. And by approaching these issues from a criminology background, which is heavy on the behavioral science of how people respond to policy, I can ultimately work in policy writing advising that makes the law more progressive and more supportive of people in these groups, immigrants, refugees, human trafficking victims, etc. Crime is literally inherently defined by what the law determines as legal versus illegal. It's also a social construct. The law is both A, the determinant of what counts as criminal behavior, and B, the thing that forces people into a situation in which they choose to commit a crime, like an inability to escape poverty because of generational systemic racism, for example. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to use the behavioral science to make better policy on both of those fronts. Also, someone mentioned whether all the data about crime in this country is just totally fucked up because, as TikTok user Rinstar said so beautifully, black neighborhoods are overpoliced and white perpetrators are undercharged. Yes, that's true. There are, however, two data sets for crime in this country. Uniform crime reports are what is most often referred, most often used by dumb right-wingers because it is a summation of all police-reported crime in the country as reported by law enforcement agencies. Thankfully, there's another data set. The National Crime Victimization Survey is conducted by the Census Bureau twice a year. They interview household members in a nationally representative sample of approximately 43,000 households, which it turns out to be about 76,000 people. Approximately 150,000 interviews of persons aged 12 or older are conducted annually. Households stay in the sample for 3 years. New households rotate into the sample on an ongoing basis. So in this data set, it gives us a better idea of non-reported crime, which is so important for crimes like sexual assault. the UCR is still important for some things, like the actual real rates of homicide in the country. The other one, though, is, by contrast, has to infer trends from a sample set, so they each have benefits. Okay, I think that's about covered everything that you discussed. Tess, I will be in Rotterdam, but when I visit Amsterdam, I will most definitely be taking your advice on headphones at the zoo, and I will keep you posted with I do. And then she sends some pictures of her kitty, which is great. We love seeing cats. Our listeners are so fucking baller. It's awesome.
I know. That's so awesome. So proud of her.
I know. I was like reading this and I was like, oh, you're awesome. Thank you for going into that line of work like with a conscience and like wanting to, you know, understand how to help the system and like everything that we're going through right now as a country. It's like we need more people doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, like that is actually something that could help really change things, you know. I think all of us are trying to figure out ways to be effective, and mm-hmm. her actual line of work is, you know, going to do that, so that's really impressive. And that was really interesting to hear about the statistics, because it is crazy, you know, obviously anyone can, like, make a meme and just put it up and be like, no, see, this proves my point, and you're just where the fuck is everyone getting these things from? So it's so nice to, like, hear, oh, okay, this is why this might seem this way.
Exactly.
And that there's, like, a control, like, that's set up for, we have, like, a rotation of, like, that mm-hmm. second data set she was talking about is, like, super important and awesome, because that goes more to, like, I don't know, the anecdotal, on non-reported, mm-hmm. and, like, the trying to get a handle on what the optics are for, like, all of that stuff that we, you know happens but doesn't get handled the same way as, like, selling weed on the street or murdering someone, you know, like it's selling weed on the street, that's still a thing, you know, like Chicago, it is legal here, but it's so expensive, most people just go through their dealers still.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, California is kind of the same way, or has gotten to be that way. It's very, I mean, it's really sucks how I think legalization has been really beneficial, obviously, because there are so many people of color that are in jail for cannabis related crimes. So like, they had to legalize it for that reason. Mm-hmm. But it's really fucking disheartening just to see so many white people making so much money off of cannabis in an industry that's put so many black and Mexican people in jail. Like it's and to mm-hmm. not see that now that it's gone onto the white market, that the people that were making money on weed before are still able to continue making money on weed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, and like corporations and stuff too are the ones that were, are only, at least in California, it seemed like they're the only ones that are able to like afford like the license to be able to do it. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, okay, what could we do? We couldn't keep weed illegal. That was causing mm-hmm. its own set of problems. Like that definitely was wreaking havoc. But yeah, it's so expensive, and it's put a lot of female businesses out of business, and like it's made it so prohibitive for small businesses to stay legit, and then it's brought down the price of weed on the black market too at the same time. So like there are people, I mean, which is kind of like, as a consumer, I guess, good, but it's interesting. It's a really interesting business.
Does that because we know a lot of people that have like trimmed weed for money on the side. That's like a if a seasonal job that exists in California, and if you're creative, you go do that, you make a bunch of money. It has like that, and that, like, it's pretty lucrative to be able to do that. Has like the amount that you make doing that kind of thing gone down too with it then?
Yeah, from what I've heard anecdotally, I think rates have gone down actually pretty significantly for that.
Yeah,
just because those farms are not making nearly what they were making before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Everything's great.
I know, but it's like we had to legalize it. This is what happens with everything, right?
Right, like, of course. When they get their like grubby little hands on it, of course, this is fucking what happens. So
exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You know, and they would never write the law to be like, also, you have to like hire X amount of people that are like, you know.
Or yeah, you have to put money towards like rehab programs of people who were put in jail from this. You know, I mean, that's, I feel
let
like.
Let people out of jail.
Well, that is in a lot of state laws, that is in. There are people that are, if you're in jail for just a cannabis crime, people. And that's the wonderful thing about it, you know. I just think it's like, or like have some kind of program where people that were big on the black market could easily transition to the white market.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to expunge their record, let them just start as a legit person, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm into that.
But anyway, this is how people who make a lot of money work. They don't do that.
Oh,
they,
right. Yeah, that's
these are
true.
The yacht. The yacht people are the people who come in and crush the mm-hmm. black market people.
This is so true.
This is why they're not so happy. True. They've got blood on their hands. And no matter how many times you jump off of that yacht into that water, the blood's not coming off. Woo, everything's great.
But anyway, our listeners are amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, it's fucking cool to hear from you guys with like that kind of, I mean, you know, we are, none of us have criminology degrees. I want to know that. Like now I can speak more, you know, with more knowledge to that kind of stuff too in the future. So appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Tess, you got something, right?
I also have an update. I was contacted on Instagram by a listener who has some insight. Last episode, I was talking about how bullshit the quotes on the yogi tees are.
Yes.
They're inspirational like the quotes?
Yeah, they're terrible. Just as an example, I had Sean and I both had yogi tea last night, so I took these off. These are so fucking dumb.
Oh, the literal tea bag, like yogi tea bag. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm like,
so, you know, the little tag that has the thing. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, these make me so angry. When the dawn of simplicity comes in life, complications leave. Mm. What?
The dawn of simplicity.
I get it.
It's so dumb. It's there's nothing overwrought. Profound.
It's a little bit too complicated for what it's like getting at. It's like,
it's
poorly written. It's not, do they attribute
too many words
to anybody?
Which is against the point.
Yeah. Too many words. And also, yeah, no shit. When simplicity comes into your life, complications leave. Really?
Yeah. Okay. I can like hear the man bun on the copywriter.
Well, and then here's another one. This one. You must have self-respect. Only then can you respect somebody.
Hate it.
It means nothing. It means nothing.
Yeah.
So she said, I have some answers. Regarding your yogi tea shit sayings, Quam. The person who writes those messages is literally a receptionist who does them between calls.
No.
The picture, yes.
What?
This is some hot tea. This is some hot yogi tea,
right? We have literal hot tea.
Spill it.
Literal hot tea. And then she said the picture of the dude on the side of the box it was the leader of the cult I was so lucky to be born into. He was a dick. Also, he named me still a dick.
What? There's so much to unpack. Also, why can't you just, like, afford to, like, a freelance, like, copy person?
Exactly! Exactly!
3 hours
Wait, I'm so confused.
A month or less. I'm like, why is there a reception? You know, like, what?
And, like, I drink a lot of this tea, and they are all different. There's like, that's what pisses me off. There's like 87,000 of them and they're all different and they're all bad.
No.
So this woman is just sitting there, what, every single day coming up with this shit for no money?
Who's this cult that I've never heard of?
I think so. Does this not seem like it's a takeoff of the Snapple lady who was always working at reception and then they would have the quotes on the Snapple top? Maybe this was just like some kind of adjacent attempt. But yeah, she should be getting, even if these things are terrible, she should be getting paid for them.
Right.
This is copywriting.
She needs a raise.
Exactly. So now I feel bad. I'm like, gosh, good for you.
Even
for
though this sounds
in.
Like the Cards Against Humanity of like fucking woo quotes or whatever.
It is. That's what it is. They're like, I want to know what this woman's name is. Like, I need to like have a, I want to find her on Facebook and see what
she looks like. Yeah. Can we go back to the cult thing? What the fuck is this? Yeah.
I asked her what
Googling
the cult
furiously,
is.
Yes.
I asked her what the cult is. It's called 3HO, the Healthy, Happy, Holy Organization.
Okay, so Yogi Bhajan, who is the yogi that is pictured on yogi tees, is the one who started it.
Here's the other thing, too, just like as a yoga instructor that also cares about like appropriation and how like bullshit everything is, and we're like having that kind of like discussion in the yoga world right now about like decolonizing yoga and what it means to be a white woman like yoga teacher and
yeah,
like yogi. It's like yoga is like this whole system of understanding the world and yourself and your relation to everything else. And they have their fucking receptionist writing. Like, really? Hire a copywriter. Like, please. Maybe someone who's had like a yoga training. It's just like, Let's slap a yoga on this. I am literally
a copywriter with a yoga training.
See? Yes. Tess, this has fallen into your DMs. I think you might have a new side hustle.
Honestly, you could start your own and call it
Tess Tees. I mean, I don't know if that would do that well, but
Tess Tees.
Tess Tees. Hello.
Grab life by the balls.
Talk about actually,
that would be a really good bachelor party present, I think.
That's so funny.
Oh, I fucking love that. I'm gonna go down a deep hole on this.
I'm very interested.
So that's the deal, guys. I mean, I was not expecting to get the tea, but here we are.
Damn.
Also, I was named by him. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
Right?
What the fuck?
My favorite part is who named me, period. Still a dick, period.
That's it for our follow-ups, right? Do we have another one?
Yeah, that's all I got.
That's good, yeah.
If you've written it, let us know. You know, we always like to know how the advice goes. So thank you for writing back. And
also, if you were named by a cult leader, tell us. We want to hear about all our listeners that are named by cult leaders.
Speaking of, I just found on the website we can be named by a cult leader for $40. They have a request a name function.
What?
If we pay these people $40 within a week, they will send us our spiritual name.
Oh, okay.
This is
everybody.
So fucked up.
Patreon.com/ladytolady.
We're gonna collectively get Lady to Lady's spiritual name.
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna get just a name for all of us listening to the podcast for your bang for your buck. Let's get this. Let's get a name. This will be what we call the listeners of the show.
Yes.
It'll be the Hannahs or whatever.
Oh my God. Dude.
That's fucking ridiculous. Holy shit. Yeah, we'll be reporting back next week on that, guys. That's beautiful. Fucking insane. Oh man. Jillian, where can everyone find you? Find your yoga practice, find your bands, all that shit.
All of the things that I'm trying to do with my life. So I would say Instagram is probably where I am the most active and up to date for music stuff and just personal whatever. It's Hiho, Hiho.Jillian, Gillian.
Not then, three ho, Hiho.
No, Hiho. Oh, God. No association. And then for yoga is at heavyzen.jillian. And that's where I post about I do some online stuff. I do some yoga in the park and just trying to figure out how to kind of keep moving that forward in this crazy time. But you can follow me both of those places. And I also have an Instagram for my cat, Moo. She's a hairless sphinx cat and she looks a little like a cow, and you can follow her at sweet.little.moo.
She's so cute.
Little baby.
Yeah.
And Jillian's gonna play us out with another song. What do you for? And hopefully she froze last time and unfortunately played it without us, so we're hoping we get to watch it this time.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yes. Moment. Nothing like being on a rolly chair and grabbing for your guitar. You feel like the rock star that you are. I'm gonna do. Brandy kind of asked for this song. This is a Turnspit song that I'm really proud of. It's about kind of like leaving the place that you grew up, and this is definitely a more like punky, rocky, growly Jillian song instead of a soft and pretty sad one. So song's called Worthless. you.
Love it. Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks, Julian. Bye, guys.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.